Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
today on the radio show, Neil McCready is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk to him about the return of college football, because we had the news yesterday about the NCAA saying football players, basketball players, men's basketball players, women's basketball players can start to return for voluntary workouts starting on June 1. So we'll talk to Neil about what that might look like. Chris Harrington will join us at 10. Graceland is reopening, and I believe that Chris, who was there when the zoo reopened, in advance of the zoo reopening, he's got a new gig. He's a reopening specialist. Chris Harrington is going to go and see Graceland as it reopens. How many times have you ever been to Graceland, Jeffrey?
I think the answer is none.
Zero?
I think the answer is none.
I know you're really dismissive of Graceland as a
no.
As
I just human. I abide by the joke.
Right. No, we never go, et cetera. Which is right. Basically what every local does.
I might have gone with my dad. My dad and one of his old business partners. I might have gone when I was super young, but I don't remember it. That would be the only time.
I've been once or twice.
Was that part of when they were recruiting you, when you're on your recruiting visit to be the columnist?
No,
that wasn't
part of the River King
swing?
I moved to Memphis, and I said, I'll wait to go to Graceland until one of my many relatives. Mm-hmm. You recall I had, at the time, two parents, eight siblings, innumerable cousins, et cetera. Until one of my relatives visits me, and then we can knock it out all at once.
Dad confirms I have been once.
10 years passed, none of my relatives visited me. And so the 10th year anniversary of me moving to Memphis, I said, screw these people.
I'm going on my own.
I'm going on my own. And I wrote a column, I was looking for a column about being in Memphis for 10 years. So that's the one time I went to Graceland. I've never been to the vigil. There are certain things that I have not done that I really feel like that is one of them that I should do, is go to the vigil. Anyway, Chris Harrington is going to Graceland.
Why would you go to a vigil for someone who's not dead?
Yeah, that's a good point. Just to see what all those dupes are
that's
doing
right.
out
good
there.
Good point.
So, anyway, Chris is going to join us at 10. We'll talk to him about that. Also, the river park designs were for Tom Lee, the redesigned Tom Lee Park, were unveiled yesterday, and we'll talk to him about what they look like. I confess, I can't look at a plan and have any idea what it'll look like in real life. That is not
nope, one I need the video renderings
skills. And so I remember when they flew us up to Indiana to look at the home of the Pacers, Fieldhouse, right?
Yeah. And they took the bowl instead of the
charter jet to go, let's bring everybody up to Conseco so we can see what a new stadium can look like. And I'm like, this is awesome. They have designed to look like a field house. And I think they were right to do this. They said, we're not going to do that. That's a knockoff of Indiana. But that's what strikes you when you walk into Conseco Fieldhouse. I don't know what it's called now.
Banker's Life.
Okay. And
but you're right.
What they took was the damn bowl. And the bowl is, I've said this a million times, the bowl at FedEx Forum is poorly designed. Too many people up top, not enough in the bottom, and that's she said. I don't know. And
product of the time.
And it was just not. But I didn't see that at all. I didn't see. Oh, there are too many seats up here. I didn't raise my hand and say, you realize we got to put more seats down low because everyone wants to be down low. And even if the people who are down low are a little higher, it beats being jammed up here in a peanut gallery. So. Anyway, I have no impression of what it's going to look like at Tom Lee Park. I do know that I think it's absurd that we have a river that we turn our backs on as a community, fundamentally. We say we like it. People tweet out pictures of it, et cetera. I don't know how the hell to get there.
The Instagram.
I still don't know how the hell to get there. Do you know how to get – like right now, if I said go to Tom Lee Park.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Go to Riverside Drive and then park
okay,
somewhere.
Okay, where? Where would you park? Where would you park? And
one of those – I mean, if you can't park there, there's some parking there. If you can't get in there, right. Probably one of those lots right there on, is that Main?
And then where do you cross?
There's like walkways.
Well, it's a little walk, yeah, but it's not accessible. It's not friendly. It's not, you don't just happen to drift over to Tom Lee Park because you want to see the river.
Ask how many times I've been to Tom Lee Park without going to Barbecue Fest or Music Fest.
How many times have you without, putting aside Barbecue Fest
right.
and Music Fest, how many times have you been to Tom Lee Park?
Donut.
Zero. I think that's true for me too.
And I'm someone that I'm like, as you point out, I love what they've done with the bridges, the lights, everything. Like
I love the bridges. I've walked across the bridge several times.
And every time I'm down at Music Fest or at Tommy Park, I'm like,
This is a great place to spend
a Saturday. Like,
anyway, we'll talk to Chris about that. And then the great Jack McCallum is going to join us. Longtime legendary writer for Sports Illustrated. I've been, ever since the Jordan thing came out, we've been trying to get Jack on. And he has a new Dream Team Tapes podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And we will talk to him about that. We're doing that in the second hour. So it's Neil McCready, Chris Harrington, and Jack McCallum. You will not want to turn away for a single moment today because Graceland may be returning.
Mm-hmm.
Gibson's is back. By the way, I talked to Don this morning, texted with Don this morning, Don DeWeese, the owner of Gibson's, says it's a record every single day. It is not. If you're one of these people at Gibson's who's been waiting for the line to abate at Gibson's.
You're going to keep waiting?
You're going to keep waiting. Because I said, I just texted him, has it calmed down over there? He said, nope, record every single day. So.
I drove by once. I want to say it was maybe Thursday last week.
Still line?
How about this, Jeff? There were people parked on the street.
It's kind of crazy.
And it was insane.
Okay, can I confess something?
Go ahead. It's just us.
Memorial Day weekend, it might well just be just us. So, So I went to Gibson's when it reopened. And typically, if I go, I'll just get a donut Well, some often I can, you know, Don will give me a donut because whatever, or that's why I'm on the take for him. I can be bought.
We admit that fully. Right. We are for sale.
Or I'll just get a donut. I'll say, give me a, you know, whatever, and I'll buy a donut. And, but I couldn't because the line was so long that I would be cutting in line and I had to get to the radio show and like I couldn't wait in the line. I didn't want to cut in line. I didn't want to ask Don for a donut. I never ask him.
No,
he
just
like, hey, Don, can I have a donut? He just offers, but he's so busy.
It's the perks of being caulking.
He didn't offer me a donut. So I went and hung out at Gibson's for an hour and did not get a donut. So then I immediately said.
And the worst part is you could smell all the donuts.
Yeah, I needed, and I hadn't had a donut in a, and so I said, I need a damn donut. So Saturday morning, I went for a 10-mile run, of all things, with my running group, socially distanced. We run 10 feet apart.
I would have been way behind. I would have been very socially distanced.
And then I drove by Gibson's to see what the heck was happening at Gibson's, and the line was 50 people deep. I wanted an apple fritter. So you know what I did? Can I confess this?
You went in without a mask?
I went to Dunkin' Donuts.
No!
I did.
How dare you?
I did.
You Yankee!
I went to Dunkin'. Now, I like Dunkin' coffee very much.
Fine, agreed.
I liked, but I've never been to Dunkin' Donuts for a donut.
They're gross!
I said I would like an apple fritter. I drove through the drive-thru. I said I'd like coffee with cream.
They have apple fritters?
I didn't know they did, but there's an apple fritter on the thing.
Who knew?
It said, hi, apple fritter.
The more you know.
It is...
disgusting?
Nasty.
Gross. They leave that film at the top of your mouth.
The idea of the Gibson's apple fritter compared to the Dunkin' Donuts apple fritter is like... it's like Michael Jordan playing basketball compared to me playing basketball. I mean, it is just not anywhere in the same class. And but I did. I've now confessed that I feel better about myself. Anyway, the point is this. There's lots of things that are reopening. Graceland's reopening. The zoo is reopening. Gibson's is reopening. But we are taking tomorrow off.
Yeah, we are.
And... we're taking Memorial Day off.
Yes, we are.
So that is, we are going to have 4 days off of radio. So you better enjoy this show.
God bless Dan Barron and Brad Carson.
God bless Dan Barron and Brad Carson. Because it has been a lot of fun. It really has. It has been a lot of fun doing this radio show during this time. Probably the best time I've had, the most meaningful time I've had doing radio since I started doing radio. And it's not digging a ditch, but no. I will enjoy 4 days off.
We haven't taken a day since March 11th.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the lineup. Okay, on to the show today. There is football. We'll talk about that in a minute, the return of football and all of that. But let's be honest. What's the name of the governor of Mississippi?
Tate Reeves.
Tate Reeves. Tate Reeves, and God bless him, Tate was just trying to do a good thing here. Tate is reading the names of high school graduates, and they submit them themselves, and is reading the name of the high school graduates every single day, I gather. Like, he's not, this wasn't a one-time deal he's doing.
No, this is something he's doing regularly. Yeah.
And good for Tate. I got a high school graduate. Peter is graduating Saturday from Lausanne. At Lausanne, they're doing it in groups of 10. So they're having over 2 days. You come in, and then they disinfect, and then they have whatever, and then they have whatever. So it's not a real graduation. So Peter's being robbed of his senior year. It just is. Like, it's life. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. It's clearly not as bad as what a lot of you people are going through and a lot of people in this world are going through. But it's not great for them. I talked to the cross-country coach at Christian Brothers yesterday. They were supposed to have won they were supposed to be competing for a state championship yesterday. They were supposed to be in cross country, and they might well have won the state championship yesterday. And they've been robbed of that. And so it's not easy for anyone. And good old Tate is reading the names, just trying to make people feel a little bit better, reading the names of high school graduates. But high schoolers are high schoolers. I think we can admit that.
I think that seems true.
High schoolers are high schoolers.
I don't really think I can dispute that.
And so he did... read the following name.
Gavin Christopher Davis, Grayson Doss, Harry Ashcraft.
I don't know that people can quite hear that correctly. Let's go to Harry again. What's Harry's last name? The third?
Harry Ashcraft.
That would be Harry Ashcraft. How do you spell his last name?
A-Z-R-A-C. Oh, I'm sorry, A-Z-C-R-A-C.
Yeah, A-Z-C-R-A-C. That would be, let's hear him once more, the proud graduate.
Harry Ashcraft.
Yes, the first member of the Ashcraft family to graduate from high school.
He'll be headed to Ole Miss.
Is my understanding. Is Harry Ashcraft going to Ole Miss, or is he going to State, or is he going to...
Harry Ashcraft will be a fight elk down at Ole Miss.
It tends to be more of a blue... They've been a blue-collar family, the Ashcrafts, for a long time. And I used to have a... I think there was an Ashcraft that worked on my... I needed a new disposal, and... I think
very handy people.
They tend to be a handy people.
Yes.
Harry Ashcraft and his relatives. But it got me thinking about other. Was this funny, by the way?
Oh, yes.
Did it help?
I told Mark.
Did
I told
it help that it was Tate?
It didn't hurt. I'll say that. But it's also.
I don't blame him for falling.
I actually found myself feeling bad for Tate, and here's why. As you point out,
he's doing a good thing, man.
Well, he's reading names.
He's reading names.
And how does that not get vetted? I mean, I
someone
put that on
should read the names.
I put that on the staff.
Staff.
You can't. It's
well,
like
I was
burgundy.
At the,
you can't
I was
put it on
the
teleprompter.
Do you remember when Martha Burke was leading the protest of the Masters because they didn't have they had no women members at the Masters, and this was a big thing once upon a time, and it was a cause celeb, and there was one year where there was a protest. And I was covering the Masters back then. And so the protesters, of course, because it's the Masters, they basically put them on a piece of lawn 10 miles away from the Masters, right?
But they had the right.
But they did have the right to protest. And so we went there, and the way you do is, as a journalist, you ask the name of the protester, you know, why are you here?
Yes.
I think it's outrageous that we women aren't members. This is a blah, blah, blah. And there was a fellow who gave his name. I was actually in the scrum where he gave his name, and his name was Hayward, H-E-Y-W-A-R-D, Hayward, you know, like...
Jason.
Yeah, Hayward, and then his last name was Jablome, J-A-B-L-O-M-E, and I said, Hayward? Yeah, Hayward, H-E-Y-W-A-R-D, last name Jablome. How do you spell that? J-A-B-L-O-M-E. And in multiple papers the next day, good old Hey, Would You Blow Me appeared. We are a very infantile people, ladies. At bottom, I think we are all 12 years old.
I agree, but I hope I don't reach a point where I'm so cynical that this stuff
that
still doesn't
make... That you don't enjoy this joke?
This and farts. I hope I just always laugh at them.
I really struggle with farts.
I understand.
A TV fart. Laugh at that.
That's what
I'll
saying.
Laugh at a TV fart.
I fully accept that it's juvenile and that, but at the same time, it's still hilarious.
Like,
the scene in Catcher in the Rye.
But do you think the pull my finger is funny or not?
Oh, yeah. That's classic.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But I mean, like in the Catcher in the Rye, that scene when
I don't remember.
Old Edward Marcella damn near blew the
what
roof
happened?
Off.
No, I don't remember.
He farted in convocation or whatever, and... I was like, it's hilarious.
I've clearly blocked it out for a reason. I'm a tender soul. That's some sensibilities. Is this one a bridge too far for me? So, of course, The Simpsons.
Oh yes.
Made a living off of these this type of humor, and so we have highlights. This type of highbrow. We have highlights.
We have highlights of Bart calling into Moe's.
Tell people what's happening there. But Bart calling into Moe's. What does that mean?
So Bart would terrorize Moe, the bar owner.
Okay. Moe's is the bar owner.
Correct. And Bart would call in and, you know, he'd have important messages for the bar. Right, for patrons of the bar. And Moe, being the people person that he was,
would
try to make sure that whoever needed a message.
All right, here we go.
Could get it.
P. Freely here. Hey, everybody, I pee freely. Jacques Strap. Hey, guys, I'm looking for a Jacques Strap. Phone call for Al. alcoholic. Is there an alcoholic here? Oliver Closeoff. Call for Oliver Closeoff. Hey, is there a butts here? A see classic. More butts? Hey, everybody, I want to see more butts. Homosexual? Come on. One of you guys has got to be homosexual. My crotch. Hey, has anybody seen my crotch lately? Hey, everybody. I'm a stupid moron with an ugly face and a big butt, and my butt smells, and what? I like to kiss my own butt. Huge ass. No, somebody check the men's room for a huge ass. B.O. problem. Come on, guys. Do I have a B.O. problem here? Amanda hug and kiss. Hey, I'm looking for Amanda hug and kiss. Why can't I find Amanda hug and kiss? Ivana Tinkle. All right, everybody, put down your glasses. Ivana Tinkle. I need a bath. Fine. Maya Buttreek. Oh, so you're looking for a Mr. Smithers, eh? First name Waylon, is it? You're a snotball?
I don't get it.
Telegram for Hey, would you cuddle me? Hey, would you cuddle me? Big guy in the back. Hey, would you cuddle me? Hey, don't you try and prank me with a fake name.
Chloe, find out all you can about I Made a Duty. Does anyone there know I Made a Duty?
Has anyone here seen my enormous butt? I got a Drew P. Wiener here. Anyone expecting a Drew P. Wiener? I hold in my hand a Drew P. Wiener.
Is there a Mr. my friend Sergey? First name Olaf. Attention, everyone. Olaf, my friend Sergey.
Urinator. Hey, my mouth is begging for a urinator.
Text message for I am a wiener. As you can all see, I am a wiener. Moron? Hey, guys, do I got a leaky bum? Come on, look at the stools. Is there a leaky bum? Somebody check the rear. I know I got a leaky bum.
That's fantastic.
They just don't make them like they used to.
What was the Amanda...
Amanda Huggins.
Yeah, well, there's another one. There was Anita. There was Anita. Anyway, very good. Very good. So whoever did that, you should be ashamed of yourself. Don't let it happen again.
Let's blame Conan O'Brien. He used to write for The Simpsons.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Do not let that happen again. Okay, the news of the day. You want the good news? You want the bad news?
Bad news first.
Well, the bad news is we had more positive tests yesterday than we have had in a long time.
Okay. Good news?
The good news is football's coming back.
There we go.
The good news is football's coming back. The NCAA has...
Awesome!
The NCAA... Those things don't go together.
Listen.
Those things do not go together.
You see the world one way, I see it another.
So The NCAA voted, as everyone knew they would, because, let's be honest, the NCAA is totally freaking irrelevant at this point, unless they're terrorizing the University of Memphis. I mean, isn't it like, it's become a freaking joke.
Let's not leave NC State out of this.
Yeah, and the NCAA had no choice because the conferences want to open up. The Ohio State president is talking about having 50,000 fans at the Horseshoe.
Well, Jeff, the place holds 104.
Yeah. 50,000 fans.
Half off.
We'll just have 50,000 people distant from one another. Yeah, let's see how that works, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, so...
And we promise, no drinking.
Yes. Oh, God. So...
Hey, they're outside, right?
Anyway, so, yes, voluntarily can resume workouts. And what does that mean? It means that every school can now figure out, and every conference can figure out how they are going to proceed to do this. And Laird Veach released a statement about this yesterday. The statement was, "We are pleased that the NCAA has approved voluntary activities in football, men's and women's basketball, starting in June, and we have been preparing for that possibility for some time now. We look forward to sharing more in the near future once our plan is complete." Well, of course they have been working on it. They would have been irresponsible had they not been working on it. And so I did talk to David Rudd about it, and he said that they actually have a plan, and also that they expect to be moving forward in the near future. And also that they actually have a date. He did not tell me the date. And it's obviously tentative. All of this is tentative because, as he told me, a day is like a week. A week is like a month in terms of the way things are moving here. What you might think today, you don't necessarily think tomorrow because the facts won't allow you to think it tomorrow. So all of this is tentative, but of course they are working on a plan. It's going to be in phases because now everything in life is in phases. And the first phase will be football, which will come back first. The players will not come back. There will not be 100 football players gathering on a field. It's not going to happen. They're going to bring them back for voluntary workouts starting in early to mid-June, and we'll see how it goes. Now, two of the questions that I heard being bandied about yesterday, I was able to get at least some degree of clarity on. One was, what happens if certain schools in a conference are not in a position where they can move ahead, either because they don't feel comfortable with it or because they don't have the testing and tracing capacities that would make it safe, or because they're, more particularly, they're in an area where there's a larger outbreak and where there's a real issues. And, for example, you compare the situation at Tulane with the situation right at Memphis, or the situation, I don't know what it's like in Philadelphia right now, but I would imagine they have a larger outbreak than Memphis does. And so you look at what's happening at Temple compared to Memphis. And so the question is does Memphis have to wait until Tulane is ready to convene for voluntary workouts until Temple is ready to convene? Now, this is a separate question from what Penn State coach James Franklin was suggesting, which is they could play games without other conference members playing games. This is not what we're about here. We're just talking about we're just talking about whether they can get together for voluntary workouts. Would your reaction be, if you were a conference commissioner, no, you can't go ahead with voluntary workouts until everybody's ready? Or would your instinct be, listen, if you're ready to have voluntary workouts, you can go ahead and have voluntary workouts, and when other people are ready, they can go ahead?
That would be my instinct.
The second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do, at least according to David Rudd. He said he talked to the commissioner, and there's no reason. This is a very – it's a worldwide problem, but it's a very localized problem. And you have to do what is right for your community. But there's no reason that Kenny Gainwell should be sitting up here not getting better like he should be able to getting better when just because in Tulane they have a bigger problem.
Right.
It's just not – no, is it, quote-unquote, fair? Well, first of all, it's only voluntary workouts anyway. So, no.
You know what we mean.
I guess it's not fair. But life is clearly, in a million different ways right now, not fair for anyone. And so I think it is the right way to proceed, and it's kind of what I would have expected. But David Rudd did confirm for me that his understanding is Memphis will be able to proceed before Tulane, for example, if Memphis feels like they're in a position to proceed. And then the second thing is testing. I heard a lot about this yesterday. That tests cost $100 to $150, that you're going to need to test players three times a week. And GP did the math on that, and that's like a lot of money. I think the math revealed that that's a lot of money. If you have to test 100 players.
Carry the one.
Yeah, if you have to test 100 players three times a week and it's $100 to $150 a test, that stacks up pretty quickly. So what do you do about that? And what Dr. Rudd told me was that they are working with a local provider, and that they are going to be doing, and we talked about this in another context, I think it was with Fishman, aggregate testing. And there's different ways to do aggregate testing, but one way you do it is, and this is what I believe they're contemplating, is, so let's just say you test all the offensive linemen, right? Let's say Monday's the offensive lineman day. All the offensive linemen
position groups
get tested by position group, which is that you get the thing jammed up your nose, whatever. They take the sample. That doesn't cost a lot of money. Right. What you then take all the samples together and you test them all at once. That evidently the processing is what costs the money. Right.
Yes.
And so
that makes sense.
If you then get a hit, boom, this batch of tests gives us a positive, you then have to run the tests individually to see what – the truth of the matter is there probably won't be. Most people in Memphis, the vast majority in Memphis, people in Memphis, even symptomatic people, even now – it's crept up, by the way. That gets back to the bad news. If you're symptomatic, the hit rate is 7%. If you're just a random group of people, most – you they'll just get – it'll test negative. And you'll be able to, okay, offensive line tested negative Monday. Okay, offensive line tested negative Wednesday. Okay, offensive line tested negative Friday. And all you've had to do is run three tests, not test for every offensive lineman. Obviously, if you get a hit, then you have to test everyone individually to see who it is, and then you proceed from there. But what Dr. Rudd said to me is that that saves 80 to 90% on testing. So instead of paying $100 a test, you're paying basically, you know, you're 10 to 20 bucks a test. And so it's a dramatic savings. It's not unlike, and the truth of the matter is, it's not just football you're talking about this. It's the student body generally. And another version of it, of course, is what came out of Knoxville, which is the sewage.
Mm-hmm.
Which is you go ahead and test the whole dorm.
Mm-hmm. Check the poo.
Check the poo and see if there is COVID-19 in the poo
traces.
Of the dorm. Traces. And you go from there. And that way you're not going to have
to be. New definition of skid mark.
That way you're not going to have to be testing everybody all the time. Anyway, there was great excitement about this yesterday. And I am excited about it because I fundamentally believe that although I don't think we were crazy to shut down the world the way we did, I do believe there is no choice now, given that there is no vaccine in the immediate offing and no treatment in the near, to open up slowly to see where we go, to see what happens. And that's what this is. This is football doing exactly what Gibson's Donuts is doing.
Yeah.
Living with the new world, right? Trying to figure out how to do this. It's football doing what Graceland is doing. It's football doing what the zoo is doing. It's football. What can we do? If we can get a bunch of players together in small position groups or as individuals and whatever, and let's see what happens. The problem here is, the challenge is that bad things could happen. And it's only a question of, like, I heard him on a Golic and Wingo today saying, okay, so you get someone tests positive. Well, David Redd said to me, there will be challenges. That's what he meant. He meant by challenges, he meant there will be positives, right? And we have to figure out a way to meet those challenges. You have to figure out what to do in that circumstance. That is the most interesting question. What do you do when someone tests positive? And the answer very simply is, well, you quarantine the player and then you carry on. But the question that is unanswered is, okay, but at what point is it too much? At what point is it a meatpacking plant that you just have to shut down the whole meatpacking plant? And I don't think there's an answer to that. Do you? Like, I don't think there is. I don't even.
Yeah,
think,
like is five? Okay, well, right. So four we're good. I mean, you're right.
Is
like,
10
is there
football
quota?
Players? If you get to 12, is that good? Is it get to? What if it's 20 football players? It would strike me if you have 20 football players, the team will probably not be able to continue.
Yes, I think that seems likely.
But I don't know that they can identify that number in advance.
I agree. I mean, is it going to be like, you know, the classic Supreme Court, the definition
right,
of
we
porn?
We know when
like
we see it.
Yeah.
Well, and that gets us back to the city numbers, and I'll be interesting to see what they are today because we have been rejoicing that our numbers are so good, right? I actually got a haircut yesterday. Notice that?
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. I paid more for a haircut than I've ever paid for a haircut in my life. I think it's a pretty good haircut.
Solid.
Solid haircut.
Look at us go.
I had the...
Over under 35.
Over because this particular person came to my home.
It was a specialist.
And came to my home and cut the hair outside on my deck wearing a mask. I was wearing a mask. The stylist was wearing a mask. And cut the hair outside on my home. And it was, I'll be honest, wearing a mask is no fun.
Especially when they...
I don't know how the hell you can't touch the mask. All you want to do is touch the mask. Well, all you want to do is itch your face.
What about when, you know, they got to cut over the ear and whatnot? You got to unhook?
Unhooked. Yeah. Unhooked for the ear cut. But anyway, so we've been rejoicing that our numbers are good. We're going back to normal. We're doing stuff, whatever else. But you know what just happened yesterday? Numbers started to look a little bit less good. And so what happens when football? Well, we're going to find out. But it is nice that they feel like they are in a position to find out. And obviously, here's the other and the bigger thing. If they're optimistic about football coming back, because they have no choice other than to be really, But that means they're also optimistic about the university coming back. And that, to me, is the larger point. They wouldn't be bringing back football if they didn't think they were bringing back the university. And as someone with university-age kids and someone who thinks that the biggest part here is what's going to happen with education, what's going to happen with K through 12, what's going to happen with your college kid, what's going to happen there, that is the biggest question for society right now. The biggest. What? Because nothing else can start till we get the kids back in school. If you're bringing football back, I think it means that we're bringing education back, and we have to. We're going to take a break. We'll talk to Neil McCready about all of this. Chris Harrington, again, at 10 o'clock. And then Jack McCallum, the great Jack McCallum, also in the second hour. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis is listening now more than ever to 92.9 on AM, on FM, on the radio.com app, and on smart speakers by saying play 92.9 ESPN.
Thanks to Teresa at JanPro, to David at ForeverWeLove.com, and James Mitchell at Assured Real Estate Services on Winchester.
Let us know where you're listening. Tweet us. Get us on Facebook or Instagram. Use the hashtag StayConnected929ESPN.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
Howie, what have you been doing at Robert Irwin Jewelers the last few months?
Well, we know that anniversaries, birthdays, and special occasions never stop, so we've been doing our curbside service and selling a lot of jewelry on our website. Now we're open, and we're here for you because we know love never stops.
And if you're still not comfortable with getting out, I see that you've got Create the Ring of Your Dreams at rijewelers.com.
You can go to rijewelers.com/dreamring and start creating the ring of your dreams today.
Wow, that's rijewelers.com, and all 5 locations now open.
Robert Irwin Jewelers.
America is a great big country.
Filled with all kinds of different people.
And we all count.
That's why the 2020 Census
wants to make sure we're all counted.
Why is it so important?
Because the census helps inform how hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent each year for things like
new roads,
health clinics,
even more school programs.
So make sure you're counted.
Because you count. Shape your future. Start here. Complete the census at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Every home has a to-do list. That leaky drain, bare spots on the lawn, repainting the trim. To finally get that to-do list done, call in a pro. Over the past 20 years, HomeAdvisor has connected over 100 million homeowners with trusted local pros. And during these times, we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the HomeAdvisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/grow for details. That's homeadvisor.com/grow.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, this is Gary Parrish encouraging you to get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, a second-generation local agency that's been owned and operated since 1981. It is the home of the Erie Rate Lock. What's the Erie Rate Lock? It's a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year you don't have an accident, your deductible drops by $100. Your first accident is forgiven. And let the record show that lower than normal rates are now available, which is great because if recent events have taught us anything, it's that every penny matters. Listen, you have a local doctor, your local dentist, your local lawyer. You need your own personal local insurance agent too. So please get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, which has two offices in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other on Highway 51 in Covington. You can reach Elizabeth Rook Insurance by phone at 867-SAVE. That's 867-7283. Or you can visit online at rookinsurance.com. Again, that's rookinsurance.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memorial Day weekend. I will be home Memorial Day weekend looking out at my beautiful lawn. Brought to you by Jameson Pest and Lawn. I will be then retreating inside the air conditioning where I will not have a single bug. And I will know that my home is 100% safe from the invasion of termites. Did you see the photo I tweeted out this morning, Jeffrey?
I did, of your pups?
Yeah. So every morning, I'm this is the perfect weather for the pups, right? And I can leave
your 100-pound pups.
The door to there's a balcony off my bedroom. And I can leave the door. I'd leave it open all night long. There's no mosquitoes. It's not hot. And that way the pups can come in and out. And when I leave in the morning, the pups come out onto the balcony and bid me adieu. I leave the door open then, too. I don't think what kind of criminal is going to be able to crawl onto my balcony and get into my house? And they already know that if they do that, there's nothing they want to steal. We've established that. My house has been ransacked, and we've established there's nothing of value in
it. And you have guard dogs.
To steal, and I got the two guard dogs. But anyway, did that house look secure from termites to you when you saw that picture of my pups looking out from the balcony?
Like Fort Knox.
Look, like Fort Knox, for God's sake. Because I went to a local company, Jameson, and they protected it. People are always asking me, what is a local termite company? Jameson, 452-1505, 452-1505. Go to jamesonpest.com. Join now. By Neil McCready, publisher of RebelGrove.com. It's the Ole Miss team site for the Yahoo Rivals Network. Host of the Oxford Exxon podcast, available wherever podcasts can be found. On Twitter, at Neil McCready. Neil, how are you?
Jeff, I'm great. How are you?
Good. I was sad to see that Ben Williams died. Ben Williams, gentle Ben Williams. I knew him as a Buffalo Bill, well before I even knew he was an Ole Miss Rebel. He was on the Bills teams that I pulled for in my youth, defensive end, but was fairly significant in Ole Miss history. Was not been and was a presence around there. I think I saw him on the elevator one day, at a game.
Is that right?
Yeah, his General Ben was around. Like he was the first African American All American, I believe, for Ole Miss, and the first African American Colonel Reb. A fairly significant guy down there, was he not? Plus, I saw that Archie like turned 71 or something this week, which is ridiculous. How old is Archie?
Yeah, you know, what you are revealing is that you are much more
plugged
adept
in.
At
Ole Miss history.
At Ole Miss history than I am. I just don't know much of it. I know who he is.
That's me on everything. Let's be honest. George Lapidus used to know every bit of this. I don't know any of this.
I don't know. I just don't know Ole Miss history. I never met Mr. Williams. Obviously, I knew who he was and his reputation, but I never met him. And I did see where it was Archie Manning's birthday, but I don't know how old
he is. 71.
Archie Manning is 71 years old. All right, on
to the pretty good for 71. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he does. On to the business of the day, which is the return of college football. It was no surprise yesterday that the NCAA. Voted to, let's be honest, they just do what the conferences tell them to now, right? Pretty much. Isn't that your understanding?
Yeah. You know, it's a real complicated topic on a lot of ways. I've had people push back against some things I've just said. I don't really have a strong opinion about it. The fact that they're coming back, allowing them to start coming back on June 1 is not indicative of, hey, we're just opening up the floodgates. We're going to make this happen. But you and I talked about this before, I think. If you're going to have a season that starts on time, or a season that – if you're even going to plan for the possibility that a season is going to start on time or close to on time, at some point the student-athletes have to get back on the campuses. You do have to prepare for a season. There is a certain amount of protection for the players that has to be taken. And if they do this the right way – in the month of June, they're bringing players back in waves, bringing them back over the course of a month. I know the leagues are begging the coaches, don't bring everybody back on June 1st. Don't bring everybody back at one time and create a problem. Do it, stagger it over the course of a month, and then in July you can assess where the state is, where the country is from a COVID standpoint, and then go from there. This allows you to bring the players back starting June 1 through June 30th for conditioning and that type of thing, and also acclimation and testing and all of the stuff that has to be done before you can get to a point of playing a football season. So, you know, I didn't read a whole hell of a lot into what happened yesterday. There's some interesting things, like at Ole Miss, for example, and at a lot of schools, I think. Missouri is one of these schools. I know they're letting student athletes come back to campus and not take classes. There's no classes to take other than online, but they're not even going to take online classes. But they're still going to be allowed to get a room and board stipend, get a meal stipend so that they can afford to live on campus while they train for a football season. So they're student athletes, but they're not students. And it's a one-off. It's a COVID thing. I get it. I do think it's interesting because it's I wonder about precedent and slippery slope and some of those things. But, you know, the people that tell me I'm wrong tell me it's a one-off, and I'll take their word for it.
Is it, of course, the problem with yesterday is, or with any of this, is that people, because this happens, people immediately just assume that they go from this happening, which is there might be five football players coming in on June 8th, right, to start a testing, let's reacclimate process, to we're going to have the Grove full of fans and fans on the first week of football. Like they assume that we're going to get from there to there from here, and there's a lot of steps from here to there, and everything has to go well in order to get from here to there. But immediately, even just psychologically, you saw a lot of stories yesterday. You know, you immediately see the Ohio State president talking about having 50,000 fans in the stands. And I'm sure they have to plan for that. They are planning for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, this is all... I mean, it's the Mike Tyson quote. You can have a plan all you want, and the plan goes to hell the minute you're hit in the face. And the virus can hit you in the face, right? So everything sure has to go right to get to the next stage of the plan.
Yeah, if you're running a college football program or a athletics program or a university right now as it pertains to sports, you're not doing your job if you're not preparing for a multitude of scenarios. One would be a regular season. That seems unlikely today, but you're not doing your job if you're not preparing for it. You're also preparing for a season where your stadium is half full, a season where your stadium is a quarter full, a season where your stadium has no fans at all, a season that doesn't happen until the spring, a conference-only season, a split season. This is a pretty busy time to be in college athletics if you're doing it right. And so I don't, you know, it's funny. There's two extremes on this. There's the one side that even if you plan for something, you know, if you plan for a 50% stadium, you're disrespecting the virus. Or if you acknowledge that, hey, there's a possibility that the season doesn't happen in the fall at all, then you're being a fearmonger. No, if you're running a business, you're running a school, you're running a football program, an athletics program, right now you're having to prepare on May the 21st for a lot of eventualities, knowing that, let's say, on July the 21st, 2 months from today, you're going to know a lot more about what the landscape looks like, what the virus looks like or doesn't look like. There's going to be more information, more data that you're going to be able to assess and begin to say, okay, this is of my four or five scenarios. This scenario appears now today to be the more likely one, and you can begin to focus more on that. But, I mean, if you just sit back today and say, you know what, man, there's not going to be a season. This thing's going to run rampant over the course of the summer. We're not going to do anything. And then it doesn't, and you have to prepare for a season, you're screwed. And on the flip side, if you don't prepare for, hey, look, you know, we might have to 25% max capacity of our stadium, If you don't prepare for that, and then that's what comes about, well, you're not gonna handle that very well. So there's a lot that's happening behind the scenes, and frankly, I catch myself really disappointed in our field with some of the extreme coverage one way or the other. It drives me nuts.
What do you you obviously talk to medical people on your podcast and
sure.
Elsewhere? What are you sort of gathering?
I think they feel like if you do it correctly, you can play football in the fall. I think they feel like it's more likely than not that you're going to have to socially distance the stadium to some degree. Medical people believe that there's some common sense that has to come into play. I think the smart medical people who don't appear to have an agenda will admit the words "I don't know" are part of the equation. It's a novel coronavirus, means it's new. There's this assumption on some people's part that there's going to be a second wave, and then other people say, "Well, there won't be a second wave. There very well might be a second wave. It very well might burn out over the course of the summer. It might come back with a vengeance in the winter. It might not." And so, again, I think the medical people that are advising these universities and such are telling them, hey, you should prepare for all potential scenarios. You should have a plan in place.
What's it like at Oxford right now?
The town?
Yeah.
Oxford has reacted more strongly, I would say, than most. I mean, you know, you still have to wear a mask to go into any establishment.
Oh, you have to. You have to wear a mask to go into any establishment. That is not true in Memphis. That's an Oxford ordinance. You have to wear a mask to go in any establishment.
I was in Memphis Saturday, and I saw the sign that said, we encourage you to wear a mask. And I was inside Trader Joe's is where I was, and most of the people there were wearing a mask, but not all. In Oxford, to walk into the grocery store, to walk into a retail shop or anything, you must wear a mask. It's a requirement. There's a crazy restaurant ordinance that you have to wear the mask into the restaurant. Once you're seated, you can take the mask off because it's difficult to eat or drink with a mask on your mouth. But once if you get up to go to the restroom or when you get up to leave the restaurant, you have to put the mask back on, which to me sort of feels somewhat arbitrary at that point. But, I don't know. Everybody reacts in different ways. I think 30% of fire code is what you're allowed inside a store, inside an establishment, except for like Walmart and Kroger and places like that, which very frequently are just packed with people. I don't know, Jeff, the virus, there's not been, knock on wood, there's not been any sort of a breakout here. I think there's a strong desire on a lot of people to say, hey, this isn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, thank goodness, but let's get back to it. Let's open it back up. Let's get going. I know there's pressure on the mayor to open a lot of things up, and she, to her credit, regardless of how you feel, has steadfastly said what is in Oxford's best interest is to do everything possible in April, May, June, and July for August to be as normal here as possible, because let's face it, this is a college town whose economic system is almost completely dependent on the University of Mississippi. And if the University of Mississippi can't function, and if there is no football and therefore no men's basketball and therefore no baseball, if in that nightmare of a scenario, a lot of, and I do mean a lot of businesses in this town don't make it.
Well, and that's the thing. To me, football, I want football to come back because I love football. But if football is back, I presume it means the university is back. And that is more significant, obviously, for all kinds of reasons than football being back. Having said that, what do you imagine? And I use the Grove as an example because there will be tailgating everywhere. What do you imagine they do in the Grove? Don't people have, like, let's say you have a socially distanced Grove. I've been there. It is not socially distanced. You would have to boot out half the tents. Don't have people have these spots? And no, it's a race. Well, how do people, like, how are they going to socially distance the Grove?
I asked that question this week and got an answer.
Oh, good. What's the answer?
Well, they're preparing, again, to their credit, I think they're taking it really seriously. They are preparing for all different scenarios. A closed Grove, a wide-open Grove.
Closed meaning you can't go to the Grove. That's a closed Grove?
Closed meaning they put a fence around it and lock it up and don't let anyone in it.
Okay.
Putting a fence around it and having four entrances that are manned where you count the people who are in and you count the people who are out, and it's 50% of, quote, capacity. A plan where it's 25% of capacity. Are you going to have a lot of really angry people? Yep. Are you going to have, would I want to be one of those security people that has to man those gates? Absolutely not.
Well,
I'm not sure you could pay me enough.
The Mississippi fan base, I can't believe, is one that is most endorsing of social distancing protocols.
Here's an example. I mean, I've heard numbers of, you know, and you can drive 20 minutes from here to Batesville, as you know, and you can go to Lowe's instead of Home Depot, for example, and they have grocery stores in Batesville as well.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of people who apparently have made the drive from Oxford to Batesville and because they don't want to wear a mask. They refuse to wear a mask. Wearing a mask is a violation of their civil rights, is their view. And so it's a pretty conservative state, as you know, and I'm not saying that is a good thing or a bad thing.
It's
or
just
anything.
Weird
it's just
that this
fact.
Is a conservative or liberal issue. Like, why?
It is
it's
insane.
Just stupid.
It is. But, you know,
stupid.
We talked about this earlier. You see in the reaction to any stance, there's this if you say, hey, you know, I want there to be football, so you hate your grandmother. No.
Or love if, my if grandmother say, so much. Also love football.
Say, yeah, if you say, you know, I really think we should take this thing more seriously, this virus more seriously, the opposite reaction is, oh, so you want the economy to burn down. Well, then, no. I mean, but both of those extremes are there, and they're both equally guilty, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I've seen you're absolutely right. I've certainly seen lots of extremes on this one. But it'll be interesting. I mean, the Grove will certainly be an interesting place. And, I mean, the Grove is, don't you think it is the, is it not America's tailgate? Like, if there is there a more quintessential college tailgate? And I don't even think this wasn't true 20 years ago. People didn't talk about the Grove as the best tailgating place in America or the, like, The what is the example of what a, and it's the Grove, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, people talk about it a lot. You see, you know, when Ole Miss has a road game, when Ole Miss has a home game, you see a lot of people come from different places, especially if it's, you know, a non-conference game or an SEC East game where they don't come all the time. They come for the experience of the Grove and all of that stuff. It's really one of the questions I have about college football in general. When you talk about college football games with no crowds, no fans, which presumably would mean no bands and right. No cheerleaders and no mascots, and there's a part of me that wonders, is that really college football?
It's much more significant to college football than it is to pro. It's just
yeah,
dramatic.
You know, I mean, if you're telling me, hey, you're going to watch the Texans and the Bills play, right. I'm watching for the football game. If right. you tell me, hey, you're watching Alabama-Tennessee on Saturday afternoon, there's more to it than just the football
much
game.
More
I'm wanting to hear Rocky Top, and I'm wanting to see the Million Dollar Band, and I want to see the people in the stands and the colors and the pageantry. And that's why, I mean, you know, Jeffrey and I've talked about this. I mean, in NFL coverage, they don't take the studio on the road until the playoffs, really until the championship weekend. In college football, you've got you know, college football game day, and then the SEC network has their own game day thing, and they do it week after week after week, which tells me they're getting ratings that make it worthwhile for them to send their people to all those places. And what are they covering? Now they talk about football, but the stuff that they do all morning long is about the pageantry and the traditions and the cockaboos at South Carolina or the flotilla on the river in Tennessee or the Grove or whatever. It's all of that stuff. And if you take all that stuff away or if you minimize it to some serious degree, there is a part of me that wonders, once the first couple of weekends are done, do people go, you know what, this isn't really what I want to watch. It's not that entertaining. This is not the college football that I'm in love with. And now there's exceptions, and there's the people that bet on games and love football and they're junkies. But I'm talking about your mainstream average Joe guy. I kind of wonder.
Last question. What do you make of Tennessee's recruiting?
Jeremy Pruitt must be absolutely exceptional on a Zoom call.
He's got the Zoom thing figured out, man. Who would have imagined that he's the guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just shows you that, I mean, you never judge a book by its cover. I mean,
Zoom
if you had
wizard.
Told me,
yeah.
If you had told me going into the pandemic, you know, you said one coach is just going to dominate the Zoom circuit, Pruitt would not have been my first choice. But lo and behold, he apparently is an absolute social virtual wizard. And kudos, man. I mean, Tennessee is back. I mean, it is. Those kids cannot wait to run through the tee and all that stuff. And it's just, it's obvious that the excitement in Knoxville is virtually off the charts right now. So kudos to them.
He is Neil McCready on Twitter at Neil McCready, publisher of RebelGrove.com. Listen to the Oxford Exxon podcast. It's available weekdays anywhere where podcasts can be found. Thanks, Neil, and happy Memorial Day to you and yours.
Thanks, Jeff. Same to you.
Yeah, that is Neil McCready. Isn't that interesting that Jeremy Pruitt, it's the Zoom thing. You know, I struggle a little bit with Zoom, but he's obviously very, very good at it.
There's no question. I mean, and, you know, maybe he's able to.
They say it's the lighting is big. The lighting is
huge,
a big part of it.
Huge
Where
aspect.
Your face is in the screen is a big part of it.
Maybe he's not using the built-in camera on his laptop. Maybe he's actually got, like, a real webcam, so he's able to he doesn't have awkward angles to deal
with. He
probably
used one of those backdrops, the fancy backdrops, right?
No question.
You know? If you want to Zoom more effectively, if you want to be your best self, I suggest Cooper Systems. 360-9679, 360-9679. It is Cooper Systems. Lee and Lauren Cooper. You can't tell me if you go to a Best Buy store, you know the names of the people. I mean, a big box store. You go to the names of the people. You do when it's Lee and Lauren Cooper. It's Lee and Lauren Cooper. 360-9679, 360-9679. You get your graduate something there. Get them a tablet. Get them a printer. Get them a laptop. Get them something. Hopefully they're going to be heading off to college. And you can get them that. Or if you just want to be a more effective Zoomer, they can help you with that, too. They really can help you set up your home office. Of course, they disinfect, and they do curbside service as well, as it's a small, intimate place, so you won't feel like you're mingling with crowds there. It's 360-9679 is the phone number. Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park. When we come back, Chris Harrington's going to join us, and then Jack McCallum's going to join us. Fun second hour of the show. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis is listening now more than ever to 92.9 on AM, on FM, on the radio.com app, and on smart speakers by saying play 92.9 ESPN.
Neil with Fox Ridge Pizza on Brookhaven Circle, Shred Shop Memphis, and Southern Outdoor Services all listen to 92.9 FM ESPN.
Let us know where you're listening. Tweet us. Get us on Facebook or Instagram. Use the hashtag.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.